KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a mostly cloudy sky, and it's 40 degrees. We look forward to be partly cloudy to cloudy today with a high of around 42. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. In area news, the Atlantic School Board met Wednesday evening in the High School Media Center, and during their session, the board approved previously mentioned resignations, including one addition. Angela Johnson, paraeducator, was approved for resignation. The board also approved Activity Director Andy Mitchell's recommendations for the fall 2020 coaching contracts, and they received an update on the status of the district's facilities projects from Bob Sweeney, the board liaison for the projects. Sweeney said the checklist of recent demolition-related activities through Tuesday included light poles for the baseball-softball fields being taken down. The home bleachers for the Trojan Bowl had been removed and light poles taken down, but there was an unexpected complication on one of the subcontractors' experience when removing one of the poles.
Out or tried to take out was the entrance of the Trojan Bowl, and they could not budge it. And so Mike Hayes is even looking at it to see how it's going to be done. Bob Sweeney is trying to learn, and they're having no luck. So they take their big post-hole digger that's about this big around. They go down around it, and there was concrete. And they said that's unusual, totally unusual, because it draws moisture and it'll rot the pole, et cetera.
They ended up cutting off about 3 feet of the pole and leaving the 3 feet of it remaining until the remainder can be removed. The bottom line, Sweeney said, is even though the weather has cooperated, the project is still about a couple of days behind schedule. He said you can follow the progress of the demolition and construction through pictures found on the district's website.
We are working at it. It's not as fancy as Washington's the website, but on the school webpage, under the water tower, there's that line across there. There's one that says under construction. You can go in there and click on it. We are starting to upload pictures. Mike Hayes has the prize now. He takes better pictures than I do. But I learned today how to transfer them to Roger and company to make them look nicer on the webpage. So people can go there, tell your friends or whatever if they want to look at the construction. And then when we're all said and done, we'll have the whole history of what took place from start to finish.
The Atlantic School Board also discussed capital projects and long-term planning last night. Among the fiscal year 2020 projects the district is committed to is tuck pointing on the south side of the auditorium of the middle school. That work is nearly finished and comes with a price tag of around $11,225. A handicap bus is set to be delivered in January, the price of which, after a grant from Volkswagen, is $87,844. And officials say the stadium lights at the high school will also need to be fixed this spring for an estimated cost of $18,000. The Creston Police Department reports one arrest. At around 5:35 p.m. Wednesday, officers arrested 36-year-old Savannah McKay of Creston. She was taken into custody on a charge of driving while barred. McKay was later released from the Union County Jail on a $2,000 bond. The Iowa Department of Transportation's District 4 office in Atlantic said yesterday that there's some good news for travelers in the Council Bluffs area, and that is that U.S. Highway 6 was expected to have reopened yesterday. Traffic is now able to use both eastbound lanes, while westbound traffic will have a single lane. Traffic has been head-to-head throughout the summer, and this segment of this part of a two-year project to replace the pavement in the area. Asphalt shoulders and other items will be completed next spring. The Iowa DOT reminds motorists to drive with caution, obey the posted speed limit and other signs in the work areas, and be aware that fines for traffic violations in the moving work areas are at least double those in work zones. The Atlantic Police Department yesterday said there were a dozen arrests that took place between November 16th and December the 9th. Most recently, on December the 9th, 33-year-old Aaron Larson of Red Oak was arrested for possession of a controlled substance, marijuana, possession of a controlled substance, second offense, possession of drug paraphernalia, assault with intent to inflict serious injury, and possession of contraband in a correctional institution, along with harassment in the second degree. Two people were arrested on December 7th. 51-year-old Dana Charles of Atlantic was arrested on two Cass County warrants for failure to appear. And 56-year-old David Charles of Atlantic was arrested on a Cass County warrant for failure to appear. Also, on December 6th, 18-year-old Rachel Stanley of Atlantic was arrested on Cass County warrants for possession of drug paraphernalia, three counts of theft in the fifth and two counts of failure to appear. And 31-year-old Casey Sampson of Atlantic was arrested on a Cass County warrant for a controlled substance violation. You can read about the other arrests in the same story on the news page at KJAN.com. Sheriff's officials in Pottawatomie County yesterday said a woman had been arrested Tuesday evening in rural Honey Creek following a report of an assault involving an armed person. The incident took place in the 18,700 block of Leisure Avenue at around 6:35 p.m. Deputies arrested 31-year-old Ashley Jo Sullivan of Council Bluffs on aggravated misdemeanor charges of assault, use or display of a weapon, and harassment in the first degree by threat or forcible felony, and a felony charge of possession of a firearm or offensive weapon by a felon. Sullivan was being held in Pott County Jail on a $4,000 bond. And Tuesday morning, 36-year-old Tressa Dawn McQuiston was arrested at the Pott County Courthouse on a Pottawatomie County warrant for violation of probation. Three arrests have taken place in Mills County. The sheriff's office yesterday said 31-year-old Jacob Cole Harbold of Des Moines was arrested Tuesday on a warrant out of Polk County for violation of parole and failure to appear. Harbold was being held without bond in the Mills County Jail. A little after 1:15 a.m. on Wednesday, 55-year-old Concepcion Castro of Houston, Texas, was arrested in Mills County for public intoxication. Bond was set at $300. And at around 4 a.m., 24-year-old D'Angelo Thomas Monson of Glenwood was arrested for intimidation with a weapon. His bond was set at $5,000. The Missouri River in Fremont County fell below flood stage this week for the first time in about 270 days. Flood warnings have been in effect for the river since March, but it's now below flood stage from Sioux City all the way to St. Louis. National Weather Service hydrologist David Pearson said it's not normal for the waterway to be so high for so long.
It shows just how extreme and how much water had to move through, not just in Nebraska and Iowa, but also in the Dakotas. And a lot of the water that went through the river came from the Dakotas.
Since sites further downstream have a higher chance of staying above flood stage for longer, he said, because more water comes in from smaller rivers. Plus, the amount of water released at the Gavin's Point Dam was higher than normal, adding even more water to the river. Pearson said conditions are favorable for another flood early next year, but there's still a lot of unknowns, like how much precipitation we'll see this winter.
With the wet soils and a lot of the rivers are higher than normal, those two things alone contribute to an increased flood threat. And if we get a lot of precipitation, snow and rain, it'll just make it potentially that much more worse.
And Fremont County still has standing water over some of their roads. The river needs to drop even farther for that water to finally recede. Now, this year's record rainfall and devastating flooding are forcing tough decisions about the future of farming in the face of climate change. Farmers who lost billions of dollars in grain, livestock, and equipment must decide whether to continue to gamble on fertile bottomlands as federal officials determine how many damaged levees can and should be rebuilt. Many farmers now believe heavier rains are the new normal, even those skeptical that human activity is a factor. With the ground still soggy heading into the winter, experts say the stage is set for more flooding early next spring. The annual Iowa State University survey shows the statewide value of an acre of farmland decreased by 2.3% and is now estimated at $7,432. Wendong Zhang conducts the survey and doesn't think it's a sign of any big upward trend.
It is an increase, which is encouraging, but I wouldn't hail this as a solid rebound of the market because the magnitude is still quite modest. It just exceeded the pace of inflation.
Okay, that increase means an acre of farm ground is worth about $168 more than the year before. Zhang says low commodity prices and low interest rates both help to keep the values from going up much more. Zhang, who is an assistant professor of economics, doesn't think values are dropping off either.
All the eight districts except for Northeast Iowa show modest growth, especially in Central Iowa. We see some growth at the level of 5%. In general, I think it shows a stabilizing land market.
He says low dairy prices hurt the land values in the Northeast District. The Northwest District reported the highest overall land values at $9,352 an acre. The South Central District reported the lowest overall land values at $4,487 an acre. Scott County reported the highest land values at $10,837 per acre. Decatur County had the lowest at $3,586 an acre. It's the seventh straight year Scott and Decatur counties have been top and bottom counties. Low-quality land statewide now saw an increase of 3.3%, more than the higher quality soils. And Zhang says there are two things that he's watching that could impact the land values in the coming years.
One is whether we'll have a trade deal and what's the details exactly and the timeline and things like those. Another thing is to watch for the Federal Reserve's moves. So whether they continue the rate cuts next year, or whether they go back to what they originally planned to do to gradually increase the interest rate.
Zung says a rate cut would be more positive news for landowners. That is a check of our news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.